What is creativity? How does it operate? What are its parameters? What does it mean to be creative? In this series, WROELP explores the creative processes of people in different realms of life to see for ourselves.
Hi, this is Heather Rose of WROELP Radio Free Roanoke, continuing our series on the creative process. Joining us today is Jane Klesch Bukowski, a visual artist, to expound on her creative process. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Heather. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining the show. Well, starting off, can our listeners get a little background about yourself?
Well, I'm a painter and draftsperson. I live in Northeast Pennsylvania. I work in a variety of mediums, mainly oil, charcoal, sometimes watercolor, acrylic. And my subjects vary from portraits to landscapes to city scenes. I always tried to keep my approach open so that, whatever inspired me, I was able to take on.
Well, what do you think your approach is? Like, what do you think your style? How would you express that?
I would say that I'm kind of a realist / impressionist. I focus on the light effect, but I apply it to contemporary subject matter. And I really love to draw. So
yeah,
I focus on, good drawing skills.
Yeah. So you draw and then you paint on it?
Yes. Like in the past, I worked mainly from life. And as time went on, because I wasn't happy with the work I produced from photographs, but I kind of worked out my problems and I started working more from photographs. I felt that, both ways have their advantages and their drawbacks. When you're working from life, you see the form, you see the color, the true color. There's that depth of space, but you're sort of confined to, what is you can set up in front of you or what is right in front of you, where with a photograph, you can take snippets of real life. And, to me, that is also a very realistic way of, presenting contemporary life. So I started working from photographs and I work from both life and photographs. But I'll be inspired by something. There'll be a moment, something will inspire me, a photograph I've taken, something I see, and I'll transpose that through a drawing on the canvas, usually with charcoal. I'll go over that with paint and then, begin to work with the paint from that point on.
What's your favorite medium?
I believe oil is my favorite medium, really. Oil painting. Yeah.
Why is that?
It has a richness to it. And I really love the texture. I love the texture of oil painting. Acrylic can be really, can be similar and easy to draw with for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say, oil is tops.
Yeah, for sure. Well, can you tell us about your current work?
Right now, I am doing some, I just finished a city scene and, I've been doing a few more portraits. I really love to do portraits. I originally started out thinking I wanted to be a portrait painter, but, I thought, I think I also want to do things that inspire me, put them up. If people, enjoy them, like them, I can do that as well. So I kind of expanded out into that. So, I did quite a few pieces of New York city scenes, especially in the rain. And I'm kind of turning my sights to Philadelphia. I think I may do some Philadelphia city scenes.
Oh, really? Are you going to travel there?
Yes, I actually travel there every week right now. Both of my children live in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And I've been enlisted to watch my granddaughter, so I'm spending more time in Philadelphia these days.
Awesome. Well, that's awesome. I love my grandmother. Well, I'm interested in the story of where you began and how you got here.
I have always been passionate about drawing and painting. I could remember the first finger painting I made in kindergarten.
Really?
And yes.
What was it?
I remember it vividly. It was a snowman in the snow with the sun shining. So,
okay.
Okay. But from that day on, you know, I fell in love with painting. And it's been a thread through my whole life and a passion. And I would say, you know, when I was in high school, I took art. They changed the curriculum so that you can take art every day. And so I did that. After high school, I studied with a local artist here. And then I did go to a traditional college for a short period of time. But I realized I really wanted to learn the craft of painting. And I was somewhat on the wrong track. So I started studying with professional artists, mainly around the East Coast. And I've had some awesome teachers. I worked with Henry Henchy, who was an assistant to Charles Hawthorne, who's a well-known American artist. I worked with Robert Brackman, who taught in the Art Students League for 40 years. He was a student of Robert Henri. Those two were considered American Impressionist painters, and they taught the students how to see color and how the light effect affected all the colors that you see and how it sort of sets the tone and the key for your painting. So I worked with them. I worked with other artists who have been incredibly helpful. You know, on this journey, I learned different techniques. And, you know, at the time, they influenced me. And, you know, I did find that actually we're really always searching for ourselves, you know. Mm-hmm. And I would take bits and pieces from different instructors eventually and put them together and eventually form my own style. And it's based on drawing because I feel drawing really is my voice. And I basically tried to combine drawing with paint, with, you know, the sensuous quality of paint. And, you know, one of my instructors suggested at one point to enter national competitions. So I started entering into shows in New York and different organizations like the American Impressionist Society, Oil Painters of America, Audubon Artists, Allied Artists. So, you know, I've been doing that over the years. And my husband and I had a restaurant for over 20 years, and we just sold it about 2 years ago, but I basically there had my own gallery.
Yeah. And,
I had my own gallery, an audience, and I had a studio that was right next to the restaurant. And I taught classes there. I had shows there. And I also, you know, prior to that, I did teach in a community college for about 20 years.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love community college.
I do, too. I think community college is an awesome experience where there's people of all areas of life. And it really is a great opportunity.
The learning experience. And it's so affordable.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I want to get into the color. I find color so difficult. But how does color change as light reflects on it? You were talking about that.
Well, the color of the light affects everything that it touches. When I worked with Henry Henchy in Provincetown, he would have us go out into the yard, and as a beginning student, we would put up blocks, different colored blocks, and you were taught to see the difference first between the effects of a cloudy day or a gray day, they would call it, or like a sunny day. Mm-hmm. And the color of the light would affect all of the local colors in its path. And the local color is like basically the color that an object starts out as, mm-hmm. you know, whether it's red, orange, pink, white, whatever. The color of the light is going to mix with that local color. And, you know, kind of the light effect really sort of unifies everything in it. You know, because that color is going to touch everything in it. If it's a gray day, your color is going to be definitely cooler and more subdued. You know, it depends on, you know, what's going on with, you know, the source of the light and what color that is. So first you learned about, you know, the difference between a gray day and a sunny day. And then you learn the difference between, say, early morning light, you know, or morning light, afternoon light, evening light. And we've all experienced that when in the summer, you know, if you're outside in the morning, the light is definitely, you know, more kind of on a light yellowish side. As the day goes on, it gets deeper and oranger and redder. And, you know, I'm sure you probably experienced that. You look out and, you know, something's touched by evening light and it's like red orange. So, you know, you have to keep in mind the light, you know, the color of the light at that moment in time and how it affects everything and unifies everything. And part of like my work, and I feel like what sort of unifies it and also kind of unifies it over time and place is that we've all been, you know, we are all subject to the same sun and moon. And over time, it's people and places change. But it's a unifying factor in a piece of artwork and also over time. And now we also have the, you know, there's a lot of beauty in artificial light, too, and the effects that we see in our worlds, you know, so mm-hmm. basically that's what it is.
Yeah, well, thanks for that little lesson. That was pretty cool. But what's the best thing about being an artist?
The best thing about being an artist, there's a couple things. And I'd say what has given me some of the best feelings is that I've been asked to do portraits of people that have passed away. And when sometimes these people will have that come to me and ask me to do that, will have photographs that are not of the best quality or maybe small photographs. Someone once gave me a photograph that had been in his wallet for a long time.
Yeah.
And I turned that into a portrait of someone they loved. And when they see it and, you know, just being able to have the ability to give them that gift is really a very, very satisfying and meaningful thing to me for what I'm able to do. That and also being able, I've taught people over the years, and when I see someone learn a skill like drawing and painting and how it enriches their lives, that is very satisfying to me, too. For example, there was a woman that was in my class who had been through a lot caring for her husband who had passed away. And she came with a friend to my drawing class, and she started, you know, she went through the drawing class, and it became a big part of her life and a real salvation. And she eventually went on to have shows, and, you know, that was a very satisfying thing as well. So I believe, you know, being able to, you know, give someone something through my work and also to share my skill and pass that on to someone else to enrich their lives, that's meaningful to me.
Yeah, the best. So what are some themes you keep returning to in your work?
Well, portraits. I keep coming back to portraits. And I also the city scenes. I went to New York. It was on my bucket list. I wanted to go to Macy's and see Santa.
What'd you think?
It was fabulous.
Awesome.
And I got a couple people that worked with me and my sister, and we went to New York, and it poured buckets of rain that day. It was just a deluge. And we wanted to see the Christmas tree. And anyway, it poured rain, and I took photographs there. And when I looked at them, I was just inspired by them, and I started making you know, some of the paintings of the New York rain scenes. And it still recurs. It still comes back to me. I have things I still want to do on that theme. I think the complexity of a city scene, plus the fact that, you know, it's I seem to be drawn to figures, people, you know, so whether it's a portrait or whether it's, you know, they're included in a city scene or whatever, you know, that seems to be something I end up coming back to.
Yeah. Do you have like a message or emotion that you intend to convey through your work?
You know, I think my message and what is meaningful to me is I see beauty in the everywhere, in right always around me, right around me. And I see interest sometimes, the way things come together, shapes, colors. You know, I see it. I don't feel the need to change or distort things. I'm still sort of in awe of what is. And I think that's basically, you know, there's beauty right here,
definitely,
you know, right with us all the time if we can see it.
Yeah, ordinary beauty.
And I like to share that, you know, my experience of, you know, what I see and the feelings I have at that point. So
yeah, it's amazing that you can convey that through a visual image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we try.
Yeah.
I try. And I always wonder, you know, it's like, okay, this is really interesting to me. This looks really beautiful to me. I'm trying to do this. You wonder, you know, does it come across? And you just hope.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is something you know now that you wish you had known before?
I think I probably would have trusted myself more. If I trusted myself more in my own, you know, I think, you know, when you start out, sometimes you just don't have the confidence in yourself. And I kind of, you know, maybe that, having more confidence originally, you know, I'm working on it.
Yeah, everybody is. And being a woman, it's you know, double trouble.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as an artist, what is your biggest barrier and how do you address it?
My biggest barrier right now is time and, you know, struggling with, you know, having enough time to paint and just keeping up with daily responsibilities. I thought, you know, if we didn't have to eat or take a shower, we'd have a heck of a lot more time, right?
Yeah. At least an hour more.
Yeah, right. But I think, you know, having more time is, you know, that would be good, you know, trying to work that out and managing daily responsibilities. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, what does your typical day look like?
My day when I'm home, you know, I get up, I try to do a little bit of, you know, health maintenance, a little bit of a workout. And in the morning, I'll try to do some personal things that have to get done. And I'll paint in the afternoon. Right now, I've been watching my granddaughter. So I go to Philadelphia. I leave on Thursdays. I come back Sunday morning.
How old is she?
And she's 2.5.
Aww.
Yes, she's been like the sunshine in our lives. But yeah. So anyway, when I'm home, my time is a little compressed. But, you know, our lives are always changing. Our circumstances are always changing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I try to do something every day, whether it's just a sketch or, you know, sometimes I, you know, when I'm home, I have more hours to actually paint. I'm, you know, I try to do something of that day every day.
Well, have you done something today yet?
Not as of yet. I haven't. No, not of, as of yet.
What do you
but
have any?
I will.
Yeah. What's your plans? What are you going to work on?
You know, I took an online class with Max Ginsberg, who is an incredible artist who's still alive. He's 92, mm-hmm. and he's doing an online class. So I have some homework from that I'm
cool.
going to do. And, you know, I'll definitely do a drawing today of something, you know, around me for sure. And, you know, just to keep myself in tune.
Do you draw in charcoal or graphite?
I do. I love doing charcoal drawings. I really do. Yes. I do charcoal drawings more so when I have a model to draw from. Mm-hmm. It's kind of it's a bigger, you know, I usually will use a whole sheet, which is about 19 by 25. So I don't often do them, you know, as a sketch or whatever, but more drawing, you know, with pencil, you know, for a sketch, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. But I'm going to, once I get through my online class, I'm going to start soon a portrait of, I'm going to do a dog portrait, my friend's
cool.
dogs. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, my husband's always telling me to paint our dogs. But I think it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a little bit above my, you know, pay grade or level.
Really?
Yeah. I want to do a good job. I'm kind of too much of a perfectionist.
Are they, what type of dogs are they?
Okay, I have a boxer mix and a Catahoula leopard dog, and he's probably Ooh. Mixed with Australian Shepherd.
Okay, so you got a lot of spots to go. Spots and swirls.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's a good boy. Do you have any dogs?
I do. I have one dog right now.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, he's a rescue.
Oh, he's a rescue?
He came from our animal shelter, but he's a rascal.
Oh, he's a rascal. Yeah, they're often. Rescues are rascals. But, well, what's your creative goal and how attainable do you think it is?
I believe it's attainable. My creative goal is, really to, like, I feel like I've been on this journey my whole life. And I feel like getting to a point of kind of self-satisfaction, I would say. Or, you know, I feel like, you know, I'm on the way and I am always working towards my ideal, you know, and I'm, you know, tweaking it in that sort of, you know, that's my first goal. And then I would like to, you know, have my work out there and part of, you know, just take my place. That's all, you know.
No, what do you mean?
Like, you know, once you produce you get to the point where you're satisfied with your work, you really don't know how it's going to be received. But, you know, you put it out there and, you know, you're kind of at peace with yourself. It could, you know, some people are going to like it and some people are going to criticize it. But if you are self-satisfied, if you are satisfied with your work, then you're kind of at peace, what come what may, you know.
Well, that what do people say about your work?
I've had a lot of positive, you know, a lot of positive feedback.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love it.
So much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bold colors.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm, you know, getting there.
Well, we all are. But yeah. How have your artistic expressions changed over time?
I would say that I did a lot of experimenting and searching and, you know, I tried different things. And like I said, I did start working just from life. It evolved into working, you know, from photographs. I actually had an abstract period. I went through a period of time that I just wanted to work with the canvas and just work with, you know, not have a reference. And I went to an abstract class and I asked my teacher, you know what, I don't even know how to begin. And she said, just put something up there and respond to it. And that's basically what I did. And I had a period of doing abstract work. And then I eventually went back to realism because I just like to draw too much. And that is, you know, that's just really a part of me, I think.
Yeah. What do you like to draw? I mean, what about it? Like the shading or the...
I think that drawing is, because it's made by human hands, there is traces of expression and emotion in every line that's made. And I really think now that painting is kind of an evolution of our drawing style. And for instance, like if you look at a Van Gogh and you look at his drawings, well, his early drawings were more, you know, masses, but as he evolved and he worked with like strokes in his drawings, in his ink drawings, and then progressed to painting, the strokes were very similar, but there was so much emotion recorded in, you know, just a mark made by his hand. And it's true for all of us. It's almost like our own penmanship, our own signature that's like so unique to every individual. And I really think it's like what's expressed by a human being in a drawing or in a painting. It's our humanity. And right now, I think it's so important for people to keep the arts in their lives. And because it is something that's made by human beings and it has that humanity in it, which we so desperately need to preserve. And I believe that those marks made by a human hand, those drawing marks, they speak to us. You know, they speak to us in, you know, in emotional way. And I feel like, you know, that bit of humanity, you know, we can read that wordless expression. One of my teachers said art is the way souls communicate. And it's from one human being to another. So I kind of feel drawing is kind of like the basis of our own personal expression.
Yeah. Well, that was beautifully articulated, Jane.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, who are your favorite artists and why?
Soroya. Joaquin Soroya is probably my most favorite artist at the moment. He was a Spanish impressionist painter. He lived around the end of the century, the 1800s. I think he passed away in 1921. And the reason I really like his work, he did a lot of beach scenes, was because he combined incredible, impeccable draftsmanship with impressionism. I also like John Singer Sargent. He was a portrait painter around the same time. His simplicity and he was an incredible draftsman and designer as well. There's another artist that's a more contemporary artist. His name is Fairfield Porter. He did contemporary scenes. He painted at the time of the abstract expressionists, and he used kind of like flat color, and he used to write for Art News. He was kind of like an art critic. I just have to get there. We go. And then I think there was one more I was thinking about, but basically, I would say those three.
So, what are your words of wisdom for someone starting out in your field?
I think I would say, you know, respect who you are, you know, develop your skills and just keep putting one foot in front of the other and, you know, keep the arts in your life, you know, share what you can do.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, what is the role of an artist in society?
I would, you know, to me, an artist, I think we're all born, every one of us, are born with special abilities. We all have we're all good at something. You know, we all have talent in different ways. And I think an artist, that you've been given a job as an artist, you know, to, you know, bring to society what you see, what you feel. Everybody has, every person, every artist has a different point of view. And it's important that I think everyone is respected for their point of view. And, you know, through their point of view, it can open the rest of our eyes to different circumstances. And I just, you know, I think you have a job to do, really. You're kind of born with a job to do.
Well, thank you for sharing your creative process with our listeners, Jane.
Thank you so much for inviting me, for having me here, reaching out to me. I truly appreciate it.
Absolutely. You have been listening to What is Creativity with our guest, Jane Klesch Bukowski, a visual artist, and I'm Heather Rose with Radio Free Roanoke 95.7 FM.
Hi, I'm Jane Klesch Bukowski. I'm a visual artist, and I'm listening to WROELP Roanoke.